class. Sweetness is the essence of his pastimes and actually of his nature. His sweetness is the essence of his nature. And he wants to exchange this sweetness with all living entities. And then right after that incident took place, then another incident took place. Here it is described by Sukadeva Goswami. Ekada kriyamanas te. Ekada means once. Once, now Krishna, kriyamanas te. He was a little more grown up and he was playing with his friends in Gokul. And then Ramadya Gopadaraka, he was playing with Ram, Balaram, and the other boys, Gopadaraka, his friends, boys of the same village, boys of the same age, and he was playing with them. And then, and Mother Yashoda, because Krishna is so naughty, she had told all the boys, including Balaram, you always stay with Krishna. And if he tries to do anything naughty, you immediately come and tell me. So they said, Krishna Mridam. Krishna Mridam means earth or mud or dirt. Bhakshitavan. He has been eating dirt. All the boys went to Mother Yashoda with that complaint. Iti matre nyavedayam. They submitted this complaint to Mother Yashoda. Srila Prabhupada's translation is here. One day, while Krishna was playing with his small playmates, including Balaram and other sons of the gopis, all his friends came together and lodged a complaint to Mother Yashoda. Mother, matre, unto mother, oh mother, they submitted, Krishna has eaten earth. He has eaten earth. So in Srila Prabhupada's purport, he says, first a complaint was lodged with Mother Yashoda about Krishna's stealing, when that was by the ladies. But Mother Yashoda did not chastise him. Now, in an attempt to awaken Mother Yashoda's anger so that she would chastise Krishna, another complaint was invented, that Krishna had eaten earth. So we're going to find it here, there's going to be an interesting contradiction, that Krishna, wishing to taste an aspect of his mother's affection to him, wishing to taste that Vatsalya Prem of Yashoda Maya, that aspect of her affection that she chastises him, he wants to be chastised. He couldn't accomplish it by stealing all the butter and being so naughty, but now he invents another pastime so that he will get chastised. Now, very soon, we're going to come up against the contradiction within Krishna. One of our acharyas says that this pastime is the previous pastime had given birth to Vatsalya Prem, or an increase of Vatsalya, parental affection. But this pastime is going to give birth to Vishmayi Rasa, or sheer amazement in Mother Yashoda. So, next text. This is text 33. Upon hearing from Krishna's playmates that he had eaten dirt, Mother Yashoda, who was always full of anxiety for Krishna's welfare, this is the nature of parental love, anxiety for one's beloved children. So she was always in anxiety for Krishna's welfare. She picked Krishna up with her hands. And our acharyas say that she did this because she didn't want him to run away, which was his nature. And this will come out in the next chapter as well in tomorrow's class. She picked Krishna up with her hands to look inside his mouth to chastise him. And her eyes were fearful, fearing that he would run away. And she spoke to her son. She spoke to her son as follows. And Krishna's eyes were also fearful because despite of his wanting to relish the chastisement of his mother, he still, nevertheless, did not wish to be chastised. And Mother Yasoda was thinking, first, this restless boy has stolen butter and performed so much mischief, and now he's eating dirt. She said, "Dear Krishna, why are you so restless that you have eaten dirt in a solitary place? This complaint has been lodged against you by all your playmates." And Krishna, of course, is going to say, "They're all lying. They're doing politics against me. I have not eaten dirt." And Mother Yasoda therefore says, "One of the complaints has also been made by Balaram Dao, your elder brother. And he certainly isn't doing, yes. They're making a conspiracy against me." And then she says, "How is this happening?" Prabhupada says in his purport, Mother Yasoda was agitated by Krishna's misbehavior, restless misbehavior. Her own house was full of sweetmeats. Why then should this restless boy eat dirt in a solitary place? And Krishna replied, "My dear mother, they have plotted together and they have lodged a complaint against me so that you will punish me. My elder brother Balaram has joined them. Actually, I have not done this. Take my words as true. Do not be angry. Do not chastise me." So now the actual verse, the next verse. Krishna says, "My dear mother, I have never eaten dirt. All those complaining against me, they are liars. And if you think that they are being truthful, you can directly look into my mouth and examine it." So on one level, philosophically, it is not that Krishna had eaten dirt because everything in existence is within him. But yet, his denying that he had eaten dirt was not on that philosophical level. Rather, Srila Baladev Vidyabhusan says, it's basically because he didn't want to be chastised. Just see. On one hand, he wants to relish the chastisement of his mother. And on the other hand, naturally, being in the mood of a young child, being captivated by his mother's love, being completely controlled by his mother's love, but being in that mood of a young boy at the same time as he wants to relish the sweetness of his mother's chastisement, another part of him doesn't want to be chastised at all. And here Prabhupada says in his purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was playing as a liar and accusing the other devotees of being liar. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th chapter of the 10th canto, the 11th verse, Kritta Punja Punja, A devotee may attain such an ecstatic position, in other words, have such a relationship with Krishna, have such an intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, have such an intimate relationship with He who is all-powerful, who is all-knowing. He could have this kind of relationship where these type of playful pastimes are taking place only after Krita Punja Punja, many, many births of Krishna conscious pious activities, many, many births of desiring to have this kind of intimate relationship with Krishna, many, many births of begging Krishna, begging the Vaishnavas, begging Nityananda Prabhu, begging Giriraj Govardhan, many, many births of begging the Jamuna, the dust of Vrindavan, for an opportunity to serve in this intimate way, many, many births of feeling that I cannot go on any longer without my beloved Krishna. This is the platform of a Shakti. Such deep bhakti, and then somehow or another, only by mercy, attaining that which makes us in our natural position in relationship to Krishna. So Prabhupada explains that a devotee may attain such an ecstatic position, which is Sukadeva Goswami's words, after many, many births of devotional service. Sometimes I think that when we pray, "Oh Krishna, I only want to serve you. I don't nadanam, nadanam, listen, I don't want anything of this world." This is my imagination, but I think Krishna responds very quietly and says, "Oh, really? Let's see. Labha puja pratistadi yata upasakagan." Because Krishna, when one becomes a devotee and becomes even a little advanced, so many things, material things, will be thrown at the devotee. And if we decide to hold on to that instead of the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna will say, "Oh, now I understand. This is what you want at your state, in your state of consciousness. Okay, here it is. And 10 times more too." And then the devotee, after saying, "Oh no, I've been tricked again and again. When will I learn? Kabe habe bolo seydinamar. When will that day be mine? When I give up all these desires, when will that day be mine?" And when that day is ours, I remember when I mention this in at least every year, at least one time, but when I first started chanting, when I was in the university, and Rupanuga Prabhu, he introduced me to Srila Prabhupada. So he used to say, "One day after you've been chanting, Krishna will come to you." And we were just new baby bhaktas. And he would say, for some reason, I don't know why he would do this, but he said, "Krishna will come to you and say, I am like this. And then he will say, I will give you anything you want." And then he said, Rupanuga Prabhu would say, "When he says that, don't ask him for anything. Say, I just want to serve you." And one time, in Japan in 1972, Prabhupada was giving a class in the temple in Asakawa-cho, And he was in the class. He said that we should want to go back to Godhead. We should want to go to Goloka Vrindavan. And at the end of the class, in a very, very childish way, I said, Prabhupada, we don't want to go back to Godhead. We just want to serve you. But it was just a completely immature, childish statement. And I was listening to that lecture, somehow or another came up when I was listening to it, and I heard me say that. I didn't say it as dramatically as that, but it was something childish and immature. And Prabhupada replied very softly, don't make me come back to accept your service. We should want to be with Krishna. We should want to be with Krishna and understand that nothing will satisfy us unless we're with Krishna. Do we actually believe that? And if the answer is yes, I can just hear Krishna saying, really? Let's see. So Prabhupada's purport continues. Persons who have amassed the result of a vast amount of pious activities can attain the stage of associating with Krishna and playing with him like ordinary playmates, but with the greatest of loving exchanges. With the devotees serving Krishna and Krishna giving himself to the devotees. So, Mother Yasoda, so Krishna said, if you think that I've eaten dirt, just look inside my mouth and you'll see. Now there's a problem. Krishna had eaten her, but yet, not wishing to be chastised, he delayed it. He was bluffing, in one sense. Because if he would open his mouth, Mother Yasoda would see the dirt that he had eaten. If you have not, Mother Yasoda challenged Krishna, and she took the challenge. If you had not eaten earth, then open your mouth wide. And when challenged by his mother in this way, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, to exhibit pastimes like a human child, he opened his mouth. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who was full of all opulences, did not disturb his mother's parental affection, his opulence was automatically displayed. Now there's some interesting philosophy in what's happening over here, but this is how Prabhupada translates this verse. Vyadatta avyahatasi swara krida manujo balaka. He was just acting as an ordinary human boy, so he wasn't displaying, he didn't consciously want to display his opulences. But he didn't want to be chastised. So what happened was, because Krishna's opulence never lost at any stage, but is manifest in the proper time, our acharyas explain that Krishna's satya sankalpa shakti, his shakti that fulfills all his desires, immediately, without Krishna attempting to evoke that shakti, immediately came into play. Understanding, my Lord doesn't want to be chastised. And then that satya sankalpa shakti evoked Krishna's aishwarya shakti, his shakti of opulence. And this wasn't going on exactly by Krishna's desire. And this unique understanding of how Krishna's lila works is so wonderful. Because just because Krishna's savagya, what does savagya mean? He knows everything. So if he knows everything, he knows everything past, present, and future. And that means that he can never be surprised. Now, how boring life would be if there never could be any adventure and everything you knew, it's like watching the same movie again and again and again. Of course, none of you do things like watch movies. But there'll be no surprise. So Krishna's potencies work independently of him to satisfy his desires. But even more astonishingly, which comes out in, actually it comes out in the Agasura pastime, even more astonishingly, that they follow the dictations of the Brijbasi's prema. They follow the path of prema, the pastimes follow the path of prema. That means, in a sense, that Krishna doesn't control Vrindavan. And it is not even Yogamaya that controls Vrindavan and what goes on in Braja. But it is the prema of the devotees. The love of the devotees calls the Yogamaya into action. And Krishna is the reciprocant of the pastimes, and he engages in them to satisfy the prema of the devotees. But yet, he is Lila Purushottam, and it is all for his pleasure. And this is the mystery, or a mystery, in how Vrindavan works. And it is due, and everything, when Krishna goes out into the forest, Brinda Devi and the forest of Vrindavan, it's always supplying newer and newer things and filling Krishna with wonder at how wonderful, how amazing the forest of Vrindavan actually is. And this is all to facilitate the pastimes of Krishna. So Krishna didn't want to be chastised, but he wouldn't break free from his mood as a child. So that Satyasankalpa potency independently evoked the Aishwarya Shakti and began to manifest something. He is called in this verse, Triyukta Sa Bhagavan Hari. He is called Hari, Jiva Goswami says, because he takes away the hearts of everyone by his intense sweetness, which is the most important aspect of his nature. So then, when Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti was manifest, while Mother Yasoda was looking in his mouth, on the order of his mother, who said, "Now open your mouth wide so I can see whether you've eaten dirt or not." And Krishna hesitatingly almost opened his mouth wide. And his mother saw within his mouth all moving and non-moving entities in his mouth. She saw outer space, all directions, along with mountains, islands, oceans, the surface of the earth. She saw the blowing wind. She saw fire. She saw the moon. She saw stars. She saw all the levels of planets. She saw water. She saw light. She saw air, sky, and creation. She saw everything that had been transformed by Ahankara inside the mouth of Krishna. She saw the mind. She saw the senses. She saw the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. She saw time, and she saw that every living entity had a certain time allotted for his life. She saw all natural instincts, and she saw the reactions of everyone's karma looking in Krishna's mouth. She saw desires, all the possible desires, and all the different varieties of bodies that these desires gave birth to, moving and non-moving bodies. She saw all these different aspects of the universe, of the cosmos, and she also saw herself. She was looking in Krishna's mouth, and she saw herself. And Sri Vrindavan Dham. Vrindavan was outside of her. She was outside of the mouth, and she looked in the mouth of Krishna and saw all this again, including herself and Vrindavan. And she became fearful. And she became full of doubt as to her son and what his nature was. She saw herself and Vrindavan in Krishna's mouth. I'd like to read some of the comments. Short comments, really, of the acharyas on this. A lie, this is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. A lie was told by the Lord, who was afraid of being chastised. He desired that mother should not perceive my offense of what I have done. But if he opened wide his mouth, how could that desire possibly become fruitful? Because there would be signs of his having eaten earth in his mouth. Although usually Krishna does not activate his godly capacities because he's immersed in the sweetness of his prema, so therefore his Aishwarya Shakti sometimes, occasionally, arises by its own accord. It was impelled by the potency which makes all his desires come true. And what is the name of that Shakti? Satya Sankalpa Shakti. And it all manifested by itself. And it showed Mother Yashoda the entire universe and filled her with Vishmayi Rasa, astonishment. And she became so astonished that she forgot to chastise her son. Very clever workings of Krishna's internal energies. Srila Sridhar Swami says, upon seeing Braja there, along with herself, she had doubt about the contents of his wide open mouth, which was in the small body of her son. How could this be? She thought. Jiva Goswami says, by the Achintya Shakti, the little boy's body was simultaneously all-pervading and within everything. So he was outside of the world, and the world was inside him. Ale David Yebusana thought, Yasoda was filled with a doubt. Oh, he said, the universe is outside. Clearly it is outside. But yet, if Braja is also outside, how can it also be in his abdomen too? When Yasoda Mahi saw the universe within his mouth, and this is what we'll hear in the next verse, she began to wonder, what am I seeing here? So in text 40, she says, is what I'm seeing a dream? Or is it a creation, an illusory creation by the external energy? Is it caused by Devamaya? Have the demigods put me in this kind of illusion to see this in Krishna's mouth? Has this been manifested by my own intelligence? In other words, am I bewildered? Am I confused? And therefore I'm seeing this? Or is it some mystic power of my child? Of my little Lala? Is it his power? Here's Prabhupada's purport. When Mother Yasoda saw this wonderful manifestation within the mouth of her child, she began to argue within herself about whether it is a dream. First, she considered, but I'm not dreaming because my eyes are open. I'm actually seeing what's happening. I'm not sleeping. I cannot be dreaming. Then, so that was the first doubt she had. Maybe this is a dream. Then, she thought, maybe this is an illusion created by Devamaya, by the devatas, by the demigods. But that is also not possible. Why would the demigods have shown such a thing to me? I'm an insignificant woman with no connection with the demigods. Why should they take the trouble to put me into Devamaya? So, that's also not possible. Then Mother Yasoda searched for other reasons to explain what she was seeing, and she considered whether the vision might be due to some karab inside, some bewilderment. She thought, no, I'm fit in health. I'm not diseased. Why should there be any bewilderment? That's also not possible that my brain is deranged, since I'm ordinarily quite fit to think. And that left only the fourth alternative. This vision must then be due to some mystic power of my son, as predicted by Garga Muni. Thus, she finally concluded that the vision was due to her own son's activities and nothing else. But then, she began to think. My son is so naughty. How could it be coming from him? I watch him all the time. He gets hungry. He gets thirsty. He's so innocent. And sometimes, when he doesn't see me just for a few moments, he begins to cry and cry and runs to me and runs and jumps on my lap. How could what I'm seeing be done by his mystic potencies? He's such a little boy. He's so innocent. So therefore, the next verse says what Mother Yasoda did. When she couldn't find a reason to explain what was happening to her, let me surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. and let me offer my obeisances unto him. Because he is beyond the conception of human speculation. He is beyond the mind. He is beyond activities and words and arguments. He's the original cause of the cosmic manifestation by whom the entire universe is maintained. It is him. And it is him who we can conceive by his potency. We can conceive of its existence. Instead of trying to understand, let me offer my obeisances to him, for he is beyond my contemplation. He is beyond my speculation. He is beyond my meditation. He is beyond all material activities. And here, in his purport, Srila Prabhupada offers us some practical advice. Please listen carefully. When we are beset by some problem for which we can find no reason, there is no alternative than to surrender to the Supreme Lord and offer him our respectful obeisances. Then our position will be secure. This was the means adopted in this instance also by Mother Yashoda. Whatever happens, the original cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarva Karana Karana. When the immediate cause cannot be ascertained, let us simply offer our obeisances to the lotus feet of the Lord. Mother Yashoda concluded that the wonderful things she saw within the mouth of her child were due to him, although she could not, him meaning the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not her Lala, although she could not attain the cause. And then Prabhupada quotes, Tate anukumpam susumakshimano. Who speaks that verse? Lord Brahma, yes. And she continued with her thoughts and prayers. Because when she saw that the Supreme Lord is controlling everything, and here I am, thinking myself in control, thinking myself the doer. Here I am, thinking myself the central figure and frustrated, trying to manipulate the universe according to my desire. And then when one is confronted and surrenders to the Supreme Lord, then one's whole consciousness shifts. And Mother Yashoda's consciousness shifted when she could not ascertain the cause and surrender to the Lord. And she began thinking in this way. It is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I'm wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, that Krishna is my son, and that I am the queen of Nanda Maharaj, and that all the wealth and cows and calves are my possessions, and all the cowherd men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I am only subordinate eternally to the Supreme Lord, and it is he who is my ultimate shelter. So here, there's a conflict between tattva and rasa. But upon perceiving the greatness really of her son, Upon seeing the greatness of her son, Jiva Goswami says, that nothing diminished, nothing diminished her love for him. She could not care, practically speaking, if she looked in his mouth and saw little teeth, or she saw the entire universe. Because Jiva Goswami says, everything only nourishes Yashoda's love. And that vision that she saw turned into astonishment, Vishmayirasa, and so on. And he then ends with a nyaya, a logic that says, just like everything thrown into the ocean becomes salty, similarly, when anything occurs in the ocean of Yashoda Maya's love for Krishna, it only increases that love still further. This is the nature of Yashoda Maya's love. Even when she becomes aware of Krishna's power and potency, nothing diminishes her love. So, in the next text, Itam Vidita Tatvayam, I don't think I've included this one, Gopikayam Sa Ishvara Vaishnavim Vyatanam Mayam Putre Sneha Mayim Vibhu. So, when Mother Yashoda, thinking in terms of tattva, thought, that look at my illusion. So this thought temporarily came to her mind. When she thought in that way, Srila Vishwanath, I think it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains the mind of Krishna. That if Yashoda is thinking in this way, that who is my son, who is my husband, look at the mire illusion I'm in. If Yashoda is thinking like this, Krishna thought, then who's going to feed me? Who's going to take me on my lap? Who's going to take me on her lap and cuddle me and feed me the breast milk? Who is going to always protect me? So a wave, a tidal wave, a tsunami of rasa overtook Krishna's mood. And he would not allow that tattva, that philosophical truth, to get in the way of the sweet rasa that Krishna and his mother, the sweet mellow, the sweet sudavatsalya prema, the sweet exchange that even caused Krishna to wish to get chastised by her. And then at the same time, being just like a young boy, captivated by her love, wishing not to get chastised by her. So at that time, by the grace of the Lord, the Supreme Master, Sukadev describes, by the influence of Yogamaya, Vaisnavanim Vyatanam Mayam Putre Sneha Mayam Vibhu, covered her. He would not allow that. And she became filled with Putra Sneha, her maternal affection for her son. So immediately, forgetting Yogamaya's illusion that Krishna had shown the universal form within his mouth, Mother Yashoda took her son on her lap just as before, and feeling increased affection in her heart for her transcendental child, she embraced him. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that despite this knowledge, his love, her love did not get even the slightest bit smaller. Rather, her affection for him increased. What's being displayed here is the love of Mother Yashoda, even more important than the opulence that Mother Yashoda saw within Krishna's mouth, the Aishwarya, the universes, and everything, is this incredible love of Mother Yashoda that has completely conquered Krishna, the unconquerable Ajita. He's completely controlled and conquered by Mother Yashoda's love. Now, just take a moment and think about it, because we hear these kind of things so many times, that the love of the Brijbasis control Krishna. But think of that, what that means. Just take a moment and think of who Krishna is and accept it as truth. Just look at the world. And that's just the most insignificant part, the manifestation, Mama Angsa Tejo Sambhava, the whole universe, the whole material creation, which is so far beyond our capacity to measure and understand. This is nothing of Krishna's potency, as we shall hear in Brahma Vamohana Lila, that unlimited Narayans are manifested, and each from them, this is manifesting from this little boy who's also unlimitedly beautiful and unlimitedly charming and unlimitedly naughty and unlimitedly powerful and unlimitedly opulent and unlimitedly, what is the essence of his unlimitedness, as we just heard by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said? His sweetness. The sweetness that we are longing, each and every one of us is longing to taste a drop of, or just a portion of a drop of, or just get a fragmental taste of the sweetness of relating with the all-sweet Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are feeling empty of that, and therefore Brahmanda Brahmate, wandering in the material world from one branch of the tree of material existence to another, hoping if only I get this and if only I get that. And Mother Yashoda is just drinking that sweetness continuously. And Krishna is captivated by the sweetness of her love. Now try to think about what that love must be. We hear, we know about Anya Bilasita Sunyam. Jnana Kamara Navita Srila Jiva Goswami explains in Bhakti Sandarbha. Of course, that's from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. He explains that unless our devotional service is pure, free from all this avilas, jnana, karma, selfishness, unless it is pure, the practice of bhakti, nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakattam riddhi sadhyata, it won't give the result that we are longing for. So therefore, exalted acharyas like Srila Prabhupada were very, very strict in explaining these points. Don't want this, don't take this, all the gross and subtle effects that will come to you, rewards that will come to you from devotional service. When Krishna comes to you and says, I am like this, don't want anything, just want to love and serve him. Actually, Rupanuga Prabhu used to say, I am not a merchant. He was actually quoting from Sri Prahlad Maharaj's prayers in probably the 10th chapter of the 7th canto. No, my Lord, please don't tempt me by asking me what I want. No, no. It is my nature, my position to serve you. That is what I want. If we can find that place of complete sincerity and pray and serve and chant from that place, that place within our consciousness that is fully sincere, despite all the other overlays and coverings and up desires, let's find that place that is fully sincere and chant and pray from that place. Now please just take a moment and turn to Giriraj and offer prayers from that sacred place if you so desire.
Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Humble beggar. Beggars must be humble.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, 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 Hare.
This pastime is now summed up by Srila Sukadeva Goswami in a verse that Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur names as the Paribhasa Sutra, which is a verse that gives light and understanding by which we can understand every other verse. Every other verse should be seen through the lens of this verse. And this is the 45th verse in this chapter. Traya cha upanishadibhischa. So by studying, Traya means the Vedas and the Upanishads, Sankhya Yogas to Satvita. And by studying Sankhya Yoga and even the Vaishnava Tantras, Pancha Tantras, Upagya Mana Mahatmya, all these Vedic literatures, all these ancient wisdom texts, they are worshipping the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Lord, Hari. Hari Saman Yatat Majam. And Mother Yashoda is considering that Supreme Lord who every religion, every spiritual path is worshiping and aiming towards and begging for fulfillment from, who is reciprocating with everyone and giving everyone according to their desires, what they desire. Ye yatam mam prapadyante. That Supreme Lord, with all those unlimited qualities, Mother Yashoda is considering that boy, that Lord, as her own son, only as her own son. So here's Prabhupada's translation. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of Sankhya Yoga and other Vaishnava literature. Yet, Mother Yashoda considered that Supreme Person as her ordinary child. In Srila Prabhupada's purport here, he speaks about Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, meaning transcendental knowledge of the truth, the process of attaining it, and prayojana, the ultimate truth. And he translates that prayojana as necessity. This is the necessity. So, prema, pramarto mahan, Prabhupada says, the great necessity for a human being is the achievement of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here we see that Mother Yashoda is on the highest stage of necessity, for she is completely absorbed in love for Krishna. Then Prabhupada continues. Different stages he describes of understanding this absolute truth, this param tattva, this adwaya gyan, the supreme absolute truth. There is understanding the oneness of everything, tattvamasi, that there is nothing but spiritual energy in existence. Yes, this is true, because everything emanates from the Supreme Spirit. There is nothing, and we too, soham, we too are spirit, spiritual in that sense. But yet, that Brahman realization is seen more closely through a different lens of yoga. And one sees how the Lord is everywhere and everything, seeing the Paramatma, who is also within the heart, and that is the goal of yoga. Prabhupada explains this. And then, still in more detail, closer, more intimate, one understands that these two realizations, Brahman and Paramatma, they're also springing from a person. A supreme person, a supreme personality. Not that the others aren't true, but it's a matter of intimacy, of relationship. Yes, we can lose ourselves and gain freedom from suffering by merging into the totality of existence. And yes, we can see that it is the Paramatma, that the Krishna is in everyone's heart, is the Paramatma, and he is in everything and everywhere, but yet all this is coming from a person. And then Prabhupada explains that Bhagawan, that Supreme Person, has personally descended to become her beloved child. There is no comparison to Mother Yasoda's good fortune as declared by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramya kachiru pasana vraja vadu vagena vakalpita. The ultimate stage of realization is prema bhakti, love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as actually demonstrated by Mother Yasoda. I wanted to read to you Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse, or parts of it. Please listen carefully. This verse shows how Yasoda's maternal love, being unrestricted, it doesn't compress. Despite of seeing Krishna's power and hearing about the Lord's power from scripture, was superior to even that of Devaki. Without regard for place or time, Mother Yasoda regarded the powerful Lord, who was glorified directly and indirectly in all scriptures, as her son. She was thinking, by the power of my family deity, by the mercy of Lord Narayan, who has been satisfied with our vows and worship executed by Nanda Maharaj, and he has been satisfied by the many austerities of Parjanya, our forefather, because of them, I have been given this son, who is glorified as the absolute truth propounded in the scriptures. So everyone is thinking that he is Narayan, but actually, he is just my child. If he doesn't see me for a moment, he becomes disturbed. And I also, being separated from him for just a moment, I also become disturbed. And our experience is the proof. In this way, Mother Yasoda concluded about Krishna. Just as Krishna gives results according to the worship of the karmis, of those who want something material, he is the one who gives the results. And just as he gives the results to those who want to merge into the Supreme, and every religion, they get experiencing something, and it is the Supreme Lord, Krishna, who is giving those results. But he's also giving the result to Mother Yasoda, the nature of her desire and the nature of her love caused Krishna to become her son. But he could not respond fully to the amount of love offered by Yasoda, and he remained always a debtor in the debt of Mother Yasoda. And he was content to keep himself under her mercy and control and cry for her milk. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur concludes, one should take this verse as a Parivasa Sutra of Krishna Lila, as a lamp from one place in a dark room lights up the whole room. So that statement in the scriptures that can reveal the meaning of all quotations from the scriptures, or regulates the meaning of the scriptures, is called a paribhasa. So this verse remains as the lens, as the regulator, by which all Krishna's Komara Lila pastimes in Mathura, Vrindavan, and Kurukshetra can be understood. Now, naturally, Maharaj Prakriti hears this. And he knows that Krishna's Leela is eternal and Mother Yashoda is eternally, eternally Krishna's mother. But still, to prove that point in an indirect way, and this comes out more directly in the next chapter, he wants to ask the question that every sincere devotee who feels himself trapped in the material world and trapped in material consciousness and finds it difficult to find that spot within himself that is fully sincere, he asks the question, what did Mother Yashoda do? What sadhana? What shreya? What pious activity did she perform in this world that would bring her to this state of consciousness? And the answer is ultimately going to be that there is nothing one can do in this world to attain the position of Mother Yashoda. But it goes in a bit of a way like this, and we shall quickly go through that. What auspicious activity did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve this height of ecstatic love? Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they couldn't even enjoy Krishna's pastimes in Braj, his childhood pastimes, which are so great. And listen to this. Yau loka samalapaham. The pastimes of Krishna in Braja, his childhood pastimes that Yashoda and Nanda enjoyed and Rohini enjoyed, but Devaki and Vasudev could not enjoy. What did she do to participate in those pastimes which vanquish, destroy the contaminations of the material world just by hearing these pastimes as described in the first chapter of the 10th canto? The contaminations of Kali Yuga, Yau Loka Samalapaham, by hearing these pastimes, the contamination of the whole material world is vanquished. What had they done in the past to not only have the opportunity to hear about them, but to participate in them? Sanatana Goswami says, Maharaj Prakriti is astonished because such sadhana really cannot exist in this world. In the age of Kali, he says, nowadays, the poets, Brahma and others, or Vyas, they sing about his childhood pastimes. Why? Because his childhood pastimes, his childhood deeds root out everyone's sin. Otherwise, the sins of Kali Yuga cannot be destroyed. Now think about that. Now we can accept that in a simple way and say, yes, I've heard this pastime, and now my sins are all destroyed and my tendencies towards sin are destroyed. And in the same way, I can listen to the Rasalila pastimes of Krishna and Vikriditam, and all the contaminations from the heart will be removed. But it is not quite as simple as that. Yes, there is so much piety that comes just by hearing them. But if one deeply, I mean fully, enters into the understanding of what love really is, what Mother Yasoda's love really is. That it is so complete. It is so full. It is so pure. I think Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj says that if you take gold and purify it in 1,000 flames, that can be compared to the love of the gopis for Krishna. There is not the slightest trace of selfishness. There's no lust in it. There's no lust in Braj. Lust meaning selfishness, self-centeredness. Because Krishna is the center, naturally, because he is the Supreme Lord. But they don't even care that he's the Supreme Lord. The love for his beauty, for his sweetness, for his personality dominates everything. If we understand or even get the slightest glimpse of that love and its sweetness, then all the contaminations of Kali Yuga will vanish. So how did Nandini Yashoda attain this position that no one can attain? And the answer is, will be explained in different ways, but Sukadeva Goswami explains that on a certain level, to follow the orders of Lord Brahma, Drona, the best of the Vasus, along with his wife Dara, spoke to Lord Brahma in this way. This was their desire. Vasudeva and Devaki in their previous lives as Prishni and Sutapa, they performed austerities for thousands of years. But Drona and Dara, to enter into Nanda and Yashoda and taste the sweetness of their love, they didn't perform any austerities. They prayed to Brahma, please permit us to be born on the planet Earth so that after our appearance, after we come, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller and Master of all planets, he will also appear and he will spread bhakti, devotional service, which is the ultimate goal of life. Why? So that those born in this material world may be very easily delivered from the miserable condition of materialistic life by accepting this devotional service. Now, what I want to say now, I will read something from Prabhupada's purport, which is, I found, in one sense, to be the essence of this entire chapter. Because I was undergoing a dilemma when I was studying this, trying to enter a little deeply into it. Because Prabhupada kept saying that you should follow in the footsteps of Nanda and Yashoda, but not imitate them. Follow in the footsteps, but don't imitate, don't try to be like them, but follow in their footsteps. And I was trying to understand what's the difference between following in the footsteps and imitating them. And then I read this in Prabhupada's purport to this verse. It is not possible for a sadhana siddha living entity, a person by practicing, doing his practices, by doing his sadhana, to become the father and mother of Krishna. For Krishna's father and mother are already designated. They're eternally like that. But by following the principles exhibited by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and their associates, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, ordinary living beings may attain such affection as exhibited by Nanda and Yasoda. Please permit me to read this again, and please listen carefully. By following the principles exhibited by Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda and their associates, the Vrijvasis, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, by following those principles, ordinary living beings may attain such affection as exhibited by Nanda and Yasoda. Now, what are those principles? Please read the Bhagavatam very carefully, like a miner looking for jewels, and find the jewels of those principles. Because by following those principles, ordinary conditioned souls who struggle to find the sincere place where they really only want to be with Krishna, by following those principles, they may attain such affection as the Vrijvasis have, including Nanda and Yasoda. So when I read that, I decided to try to become a miner. In these two chapters that we've read so far, in this, and there's two more verses in this chapter, but we'll quickly read them. I've mined out, in a mine that's filled with unlimited jewels, I've mined two for each of the chapters that we've read. Here's the first one. And this comes from the prayers, or not the prayers, but the words of Gaugacharja, the final words. Always take shelter of and protection from Krishna, the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada spoke about that in his purport too. When you can't understand why you're in the situation you're in, never mind. When you're in a difficult situation, when you're in a good situation, just continuously take shelter of the all-powerful Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The second one. Krishna in Gokul demonstrates pastimes as if an ordinary child. Why? He wants to relish the special prem-soaked bhakti of the Vrijvasis. And in so doing, and this last part comes from a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote, and in so doing, he wants to attract the conditioned souls and invite them back home, back to Godhead. We are living in the world of shadows, the world of reflections, in the world of mirrors. And we're wondering why we're not getting the taste we long for. Become attracted to the all-attractive Krishna. By hearing about the exchanges of real love and how Krishna reciprocates with that love from his devotees, he's far from being a dictator, an old man on a throne throwing thunderbolts. He's controlled and loves the love of his devotees. Jewel 3, out of unlimited jewels. Yasoda Ma's special vatsalya prem for Krishna overpowers her knowledge of Krishna's opulence and supreme positions. How did she develop such intensity of love? Yasoda Ma's love is neither developed nor a product of sadhana. For in Krishna's eternal pastimes, Yasoda is forever Krishna's mother. the loving exchanges between Yashoda, Nanda, the Brijbasis, and Krishna are so powerful that simply hearing and chanting about them purifies our hearts. And the final jewel from this chapter: devotional service to Krishna, following in the mood of Nanda, Yashoda Ma, and the Brijbasis, gradually can be developed through, quote, following the principles exhibited by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and their associates, the inhabitants of Vrindavan. In this way, ordinary living beings may attain such affection as exhibited by Nanda and Yashoda. And remember again, the essence of Krishna is his sweetness. And the fortune of being in Braj is somehow or another, if we can just relax into the mood of Vrindavan, if we can just chant and glorify Krishna a little bit, then some of the sweetness beyond the curtain, it filters through and touches our heart. And if we can just get a little bit of that sweetness, it's enough to drown the whole world. And if we're unable to get even a drop of that sweetness, we are so fortunate, because then we can turn to Giriraj and become a beggar. And think ourselves the most unfortunate as we beg for just a small, insignificant drop of the sweetness that is Braj. The last two verses. When Brahma heard these prayers, this prayer to participate in those pastimes with Krishna as their parents, he said, "Astu, let it be." And thus the most fortunate Drona, who was equal to Bhagawan, appeared in Brajapur, Vrindavan, as the most famous Nanda Maharaj, and his wife Dara appeared as Madhya Yashoda. Thereafter, O Maharaj Prakrit, Sukadeva Goswami says, "O best of the Bharatas, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead became the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they maintain continuous, unswerving devotional love in parental affection. And in their association, all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopas and gopis, develop the culture of Krishna Bhakti." And Prabhupada explains in his purport, when Krishna exhibited his childhood pastimes, not only did Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda increase their devotional affection, but those in their association also increased in devotional service. In other words, persons who follow the activities of Vrindavan, and those activities of Vrindavan can be followed on the highest level, in Boma Vrindavan, an earthly Vrindavan, or on the level of us or me, a very, very extremely ordinary conditioned soul. Whatever level we can follow these principles or their activities of Vrindavan, such persons will also develop devotional service in the highest perfection. And the final verse in the chapter: thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, along with Balaram, lived in Brajabhumi, Vrindavan, just to substantiate the benediction of Brahma. And he was doing this, as our acharyas explained, to glorify his devotee, Brahma, because Brahma, as we will hear in the next chapter, does not even have the love that Yashoda and Nanda have, so he cannot give it. And one of our acharyas says, Krishna wants to show He allows Brahma's blessing to come through just to show that the blessings of the devotees are more powerful even than his own blessings. By exhibiting different pastimes in his childhood, he increased the transcendental pleasure of Nanda and the other inhabitants of Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Say something, but I can't. I have nothing else to say except Hare Krishna. Oh, I know what else I can say. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, Sisi Gonatai ki jai, Braj Raj Duli ki jai, Yamuna Maya ki jai, Sisi Radha Govinda ki jai, Sisi Radha Gopinath ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Hare Krishna. Good night. Hare Krishna.